Blog Talk Radio.
Say that. Amen. How about yourself?
Amen. Amen. I'm in a little pain. So I'm going to say bear with me this evening. I got hurt at my job today.
Oh.
So medication, prayed on it a little bit, and I said, I'm still going to do the show regardless, but my back is killing me.
Oh, my.
But I'm here, so I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
All right.
Would you like to open up in prayer for us this evening?
Sure, let's do. Father God, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we humbly come before you at this hour, dear God, to say thank you. Father God, let's just start off by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Yes, Lord God, we come to you at this time just to say thank you. Thank you for just being with us throughout this day, Lord God. Thank you for watching over us from last night up until now. But Father God, before we go any further, we want to ask that you forgive us for any and all sins that we may have committed on this day from the last time we spoke to you up until now. Anything that we've done that's been knowingly and unknowingly not pleasing within your sight, we ask for forgiveness. Lord God, in the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we just come before you at this time just thanking you and praising you and giving you all the honor and the glory on this day, asking that you bless the works of our hands on the day, oh, Father God, on this evening. Bless the ministry here at GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Continue to endow it with power from on high so that all things that are done, Father God, are done to your glory and to your honor. Father God, we pray that you continue to bless the owner, Rich Archibald, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Give him everything that he stands in need of, oh, Lord God. Give him the strength that he needs, oh, Father God, mentally, physically, and spiritually, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that he can continue to go forth, oh, Father God, to do what you purpose for his life, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We also pray, Father God, that you bless our host, Lavina Polite, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, Father God, we're asking that you strengthen her in her body, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Where she's hurting, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you are able to calm that the hurt, the pain, oh, Lord God, as only you can. We thank God for your ministering through doctors and medications, oh, Lord God, but we know that you are the master healer, oh, Lord God, that you're able to deliver us from all our hurts and pains, oh, Lord God. So we're putting our faith and trust in you at this time, oh, Lord God, that you will allow her body, oh, Father God, to recover and be restored, oh, Father God, so that she is able to accomplish all that you've placed in her hands to do, oh, Lord God. Bless all those that are part of the GQ Palace staff, oh, Father God. Bless all the listeners, those that call in actively, Father God, and those that just listen in, oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that all things be done on this evening, oh, Lord God, will be a blessing to those that are able to participate, whether it's active or inactive, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that all things be done decently and in order, oh, Father God, to your glory and to your honor. And we just thank you, we glorify you, we magnify you, and this is just a humble prayer that we submit to you at this time. In the precious name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We do have a special guest joining us this evening. We have Apostle Ricky D. Williams will be joining us this evening. What we're going to do, we're going to go to the song, and then after the song, we're going to bring him on the air, and then we're just going to talk just to catch up on how you've been throughout the week leading up until Sunday and, of course, getting ready for Monday. So we're going to go to a song real fast, and then when we come back, we'll bring on our special guest.
Amen.
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunt anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and his grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me.
Oh.
God's mercy kept me. Can I get a witness in here that knows about God's grace? So I'm here today. I was really down. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank Him. Just thank Him.
I almost let go.
Sunday, Minister West, be there.
Yes, I am.
All right, we're just going to bring on our special guest this evening.
Amen.
Welcome to Ziki Power Spiritual Sunday.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Sorry, I had a moment. I just want to welcome Apostle Ricky D. Williams to the show. Welcome to the show.
Amen. God bless everybody that is tuning in and tuning on to Mr. Vita. I'm sorry. Thank you for inviting me on the program. Minister Weathersby, thank you as well. God bless everybody, the owners, GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday, down to the owners, down to everyone that supports this type of broadcast. I am humbled, but I'm also excited to have an opportunity to give a contribution to the kingdom on this radio show. I thank God for the opportunity of having this door open. Minister Weathersby, he prayed the prayer that was in my heart I thank you, man of God, for just pouring out before God and before the presence of the people.
Yes. Praise God. God bless you, sir.
Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. And we welcome you to the show. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Amen. This is Apostle Ricky D. Williams of Chainbreakers Deliverance Church, Michigan, in the beautiful and still standing city of Detroit, Michigan.
Amen.
Amen. And with me also is my lovely and beautiful wife, Dr. Cassandra Williams. She is my Eve. She is my rib. She is my help meet. She is my chocolate drop. And I couldn't be the Adam that I am without having the Eve by my side.
All right, sir.
Yes. All right. Amen. And we welcome her as well. We welcome both of you. I kind of like the my rib, you know.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
that's what Adam
said.
Rib.
Would you like to share your testimony with us this evening?
Yes. My testimony is the fact that God picked me when I didn't even think I was worthy to be chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Is the fact that the miracle of growing up in Mississippi and having asthma, but through God's grace and mercy, not only was I able to serve man in the United States Army, but I was also able to serve him faithfully after 16 years through the military service. We have Chainbreakers Deliverance Church, Michigan. We believe in revelation, liberation, and transformation. We also believe bound up is over by the enemy is over. And earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And been in ministry since 1985. And coming from a ministerial family, Baptist. God has blessed me to be the first one in my family to be a bishop and then later an apostle. I thank God for that opportunity. And my testimony is even in the worst of circumstances, when man says no, God says yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You're absolutely right. And we thank you. We thank both of you for joining us this evening. What we do on GQ Palace is we allow everyone to call in and give their testimonies or just say what they're thankful for. If it's something that they'd like to talk about, whether it's a question that they want answered, you know, we're here for them. We set a foundation so that everyone can come together on one accord. And with myself and Minister Weathersby, we've been doing a wonderful job thus far, God willing. And as long as we continue to do, you know, what we are supposed to do, then I believe in my heart that we'll be fine. And what we're going to do is we're just going to open up the phone lines. To the number to call in is 646-200-3838 and press 1 to go on the air. If you're listening from your PC, you do have to call in order to go on the air. But we do see the comments and messages that you are posting, but you're more than welcome to share your testimony on air. So, Minister Weathersby, how have you been? I did not do that in the beginning part of the show. I'm sorry.
That's all right. God is good. Made it through the week. It's been one of those weeks where we have ebbs and flows and ups and downs and tides, but, you know, thank God that he's a constant. No matter what the week may be or life may be like, you can always rely upon him because he has a way of settling things for you. So I'm just grateful to God that I know that I have a constant that I can always rely upon, that no matter what's going on, I can just look to him and be settled. And I'm grateful for that. But I got a question for Apostle Williams. What part of Mississippi are you from, sir?
I grew up in a town called Durant, Mississippi, about 20 miles from Kosciuszko, where Oprah Winfrey's from.
Okay. Is that in the Delta somewhere or?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's in Holmes County.
Yeah, I got family down there in Sunflower County. that's where my family roots come from, sir.
Hey, man.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's a blessing.
Yes, sir.
I knew when he said Mississippi, I said, uh-oh.
Yes, Lord. That's right.
Hey.
He said Mississippi, I said, uh-oh.
Southern hospitality is world renowned. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Well, I have to say my week was a little long. It was a little long. I have a stressful job working with the kids, and initially I said, you know, I wanted to, you know, be able to ask a question tonight on the air. But before I do that, I just want to explain to everyone that we have been having some problems with Blog Talk Radio all week. I mean, every single show we've had a problem. And what's happening is you'll hear like a weird echo, or when we're trying to play the music will like go up and down. And it's been the whole week. Blog Talk said they're fixing it. So if we hear anything that does not sound right tonight, just, you know, bear with us for a few minutes, and we're trying to fix the problem. Sometimes we have to reboot and so on, but we are working on it. Just in case we, you know, hear some sounds or some echoes or people going in and out, that's why. But we have continued each show the whole week with everything going the way that it was. It was just, you know, we just went to a song whenever it started getting really bad with Blog Talk Radio. But I was going to ask the question tonight on the show only because my week has been stressful, and I work with teenage girls from the age of 13 and 19 years old, and it's at a psych hospital. And I had this one patient, when she spoke to me the other day, she just broke my heart because she was misbehaving, and I mean, she was fighting, and they had told her she was going to go to a state hospital. And I'm telling her, I'm like, you know what? I'm like, just pray on it, you know? And she looked me, like, straight in my face, and she said, Miss Polite, God is dead to me. And I'm like, what? And, you know, me being how I am, I looked at her, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And she just said to me, where was he when I got raped? Where was he when my mom let her boyfriend rape me? Where was he when I was out in the street? You know, he's dead to me. And I actually sat there, and I'm talking to her, and, you know, I gave her a hug, and I'm like, listen, you know, you have to understand, he's here. He's here with you. You know, he understands, and he knows everything. And she's like, that's not true, Miss Polite. If he knew, then why would he allow all this bad stuff to happen in the world? So my question, you know, tonight, and when I tell you this patient, she's extreme, she's strong. I mean, she's one of those people where, like, if anyone would meet her, you would say she has an old soul, you know? She has an old soul, but she feels like God let her down, you know, because of everything that she's went through in her life. And after I'm talking to her and encouraging her and encouraging her, I still felt at the end of our conversation that nothing was accomplished because she walked away saying, I hear what you're saying, but he's dead to me. He's dead to me. So I wanted to give feedback, you know, from everyone. Just what would you say? You know, like, I feel in my heart that, I spoke to her and I encouraged her, but at the end of the conversation, she just kept telling me that he's dead to me, and, you know, and that she got raped several times and she was sold, you know, and she was just opening up to me, telling me things that I didn't know before. And the fact that she just kept telling me that he was dead to her, you know, what words of encouragement would you say to someone like that at a young age? That, and keep in mind, she doesn't live with her parents. She lived, actually, she got adopted, and then she was raped when she was with her parents, and then she got adopted. She went to a foster home, and she was in, like, an abusive relationship for 2 years. She got out that relationship, and she got into another one. But keep in mind, she's not living with family. She's living with, like, a foster parent. And because she's so violent as well, they kicked her out. They put her into a hospital. So now she's with us after, like, three other hospitals. And now they're saying they're sending her to state. You know, and state is, you know, it's a state facility that they're going to send her to. And after they send her to the state facility, she's supposed to be going to jail from there. Because she's violent, you know, and she injured somebody and they pressed charges and, you know, she do have charges against her. So what would you do when someone has all of this going on and she's literally 17 years old? She has the rest of her life ahead of her, and this is what she's dealing with right now. What would you say to someone like that? I have to say that's how I felt when I was looking at her. That awkward moment of silence of, yeah, it's like just wow, you know. So I don't know. I'm asking, you know, you guys, because I actually, when I tell you, I've been thinking about it and thinking about it. And today when I got hurt at my job, she wasn't the person that hurt me, but I couldn't get out of my head that she kept telling me that God was dead. And I can't get that out of my head. And I'm not sure what to do at this point. I'm really not sure. But,
well, you have to go ahead.
No, I was going to say while you guys are thinking about it, we'll go to a song and come back.
Okay.
All right. Hold on one second.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love is patient, caring. Love is kind.
Love is felt most.
Love is felt most when
it's genuine.
You are.
I had my share of love abuse, manipulated, and its strength
misused.
And I can't help but to give God
glory.
When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell. And I know.
You favored me
because
my enemies did try, but they couldn't triumph over me.
Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny. Because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love.
Love
is patient.
Love is kind.
Love is felt most when it's genuine. I had a whole lot of people in my life who abused my love. They manipulated it and took the strength of it and tried to misuse it. But I can't help but to give God glory today. When I think about all I've been through and I still came out on the winning side. I don't know about you, but I know that he favored me. Because
my enemies did try, but they couldn't triumph over me.
Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world.
They whispered.
That's what they did.
Conspired.
That's what they did.
They told
a whole lot of lies.
But
God favored me.
My character.
My integrity.
My faith in God. He favored me.
But it would not fall. Would not bend.
Won't compromise.
God favored
me.
I spoke life and prosperity. I even spoke health. He favored me.
They
whispered about me. They conspired against me. They told a whole lot of lies on me. But God favored me.
My character,
my faith in God. He favored me. It will not fall. Not gonna bend.
Compromise.
I speak prosperity
and I speak
health. They whispered,
they conspired,
they told their lies.
But God favored
me.
My character,
my integrity,
everything was in question.
But He favored
me.
A reply for me because I'm still stuck. And it's been bothering me. It's been bothering me. And I don't know. Usually I could, like, pray on it, and the answer will come to me. And when it came down to this one patient that just opened up and told me everything, I just feel like I'd love to help. You know, I feel it in my heart to help. And I think part of, you know, my job is to remind her, you know, and just keep encouraging her. But at the same time, when someone has been hurt so many times and they feel, like, let down, then what do? You know?
Minister, if you want to go first, go right ahead.
No, go ahead, Apostle.
All right. Okay. I just wanted to give everybody a chance to comment on it. I just didn't want to just come in and bum rush you. See, I was invited to the show. I'm not going to bum rush my way through anything, you know, with everybody's permission. See, the thing about it is this. Steal, to kill, and destroy. And this was a systematic attack of the enemy. This was not a one event thing. This was systematic. Because God knows that this young lady has a destiny and a particular path that he wants her to follow. So what does the enemy do? The enemy came in and set up snares. First of all, she was repeatedly violated. Now I'm not a female, but I've been blessed enough to marry one. That one of the most precious thing on a woman has, other than her spirit and her soul, is her body. And the body is a temple. The Bible says it is the temple of the Lord. But and to have it repeatedly violated, you know, it tears down her self-esteem. It tears down any belief system that she may have, or any concepts of family or being rescued or anything like that. But God has a divine will, and God has a permissive will. He may not have been there in the beginning, but God is waiting in the end. God is waiting for this young lady to totally surrender to him so that the healing process can begin. God is waiting for this woman to say yes. Yes, I don't care what happens. A rose is still a rose, even though it may have thorns and me missing a few petals. She is still valuable. That's one of the things that I would say to her is, number one, you still have value. And all it is acting out and assaulting people and the charge that she's been charged with in the courts, that's nothing but more than a pain talk. That's the pain of being violated repeatedly over and over. But at some point also, you have to open up your mouth. Tell somebody, a neighbor, a pastor, a friend, schoolmate, say something. That's what the enemy also wants, is for her to suffer in silence. And as long as she is suffering in silence, the enemy feels he's got the victory over her, because he's biggest within himself that she'll never stand up. She'll never open up her mouth. Now, all these wonderful things, from the Girl Scouts to women's groups, even the Tupperware Party, women have been taught to empower other women. And somewhere along that line, this young lady needs empowering. This woman not only needs prayer, she needs some action, y'all. It's a wonderful thing that you're counseling her and everything else, she needs a bit more support. She needs other people surrounding her to know that she's loved, to know that she's prayed for, and everything else. And no matter what she thinks, Christianity still works because of Christ. And God is waiting on her to completely surrender. And once she makes the decision to completely surrender, then the healing can begin, like I said previously.
Amen.
And all that anger and all that hatred can subside, because God is going to interchange it out what the pain and the hatred and everything else with His love. His love breaks chains. His love stops the enemy, because God gave His Son not mm-hmm. only to live and to die, but also to be resurrected. She has a resurrection coming too. And
amen.
I want that young lady to be encouraged. I did know, you know, yes, she should. Yes,
amen.
She should have had someone there to rescue her. Yes, she should have had someone to be that white, to be the knight on the white horse, so to speak. But because that didn't happen, just because God didn't do it doesn't mean that He can't.
That's right.
And God still can, but she has to come to that point of surrender and talking about it and opening up her mouth and start saying, "I need help," and so, "I need help. I can't hold this in. I'm only 17. I can't be bitter for the rest of my life. Yes, those terrible things happened to me, but as long as the sun still rises in the morning, I can get up and rise too."
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. And matter of fact, this question came up 2 weeks ago, this coming Tuesday, in my this Bible study ministry that I have at this physical rehabilitation center by one of the activity aides there, asked the very same question. She wanted to know why evil, why God, who's all powerful, allows evil in the world. And that's a difficult question. That's why it takes time. It took time for us to allow the Holy Spirit to come forth and give whatever we're going to give here, because it's only when we find ourselves going through situations that are devastating, where personal attacks, inhumane attacks against us, and bad things happening to us, whether it's our health or loss of loved ones, those type of questions generally rear up, because we start to question, where is God in all of this? And Apostle Williams noted, God has a divine will and a permissive will. God is all powerful, but He's not going to force His will onto us. He gave us the ability through the process of how He created us and made us unique from all His creations, and He gave us free will. Remember this, that evil things are born from sin. That's
Amen.
Where evil things come from. They don't come from God. He says,
Amen.
"I'm holy. I'm a holy God. I'm a righteous God." He don't perpetrate evil on us. Sin is what was born of evil. Remember what happened with Abel and Cain. Cain killed his own brother because of an offering that Abel gave that God received and was more pleased with than the offering that Cain gave. And then when God asked him about it, he got indignant. What am I, my brother's keeper? Yes, we are. In difference to the Cains of the world, we are our brother's keeper. But even more so, my point is that because sin exists in the world, and the Bible lets us know that once Adam sinned, all of those that came after him were born into sin. And the Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful and wicked in all its ways. God destroyed the earth one time because of all that was on it, because of the evilness and wickedness that existed among man. It was that bad. And unfortunately, that's a part of the permissive will of God, that He permits that because we have a choice. We can make choices. We can do the right thing or do the wrong thing. That doesn't take away from the fact that God loves us. And I thank God, Apostle made mention of the fact about the love that needs to be shown forth to this young lady. God is yet trying to let her see that He loves her. It wasn't by happenstance that she had that conversation with you, Lavina. That wasn't something that just happened. That was God Himself allowing her to open up where she needed to, because she needed to have a release. She got to be released from this. This terrible bondage that has been, keeping her in the state that she's in right now for all these number of years. And forgiveness not only begins with, you know, that she has to forgive those that have perpetrated any wrong towards her, but she's got to forgive herself, too, prior to starting there. And then in that process, allow God to heal her. Come close to God. Get closer and closer to him, realizing and recognizing that God loves us. And he does not want us to go through difficult things in our life, but it's a part of the process that we're going to go through, because we're not, even when you come into salvation, a lot of times people get mistaken about this, is that they believe that once they get saved, that it automatically makes you immune to what happens and that happens to other folks in this life. Not so. It's going to be even more so because of your relationship. The Bible says we're going to be persecuted because Jesus was persecuted. Just for his name's sake, we're going to be persecuted. Folks are not going to like us, and the enemy is going to use whomever he can use and whoever he can enlist to you know, put forth his evil workings upon us. And unfortunately, we have people in this world that are walking in disobedience, and they're subject to be used by the enemy at any given moment, because the Bible lets us know that the heart of man, that thing is deceitful and wicked in all its ways. So if a person hasn't surrendered to Christ, you know, they're subject to do any and everything to you, and particularly with the enemy fueling them. So my thing would be to try to encourage her, like Apostle said, to encourage her and let her know that God loves her, that everybody is not out to try to get her or abuse her in any way, and yeah, provide her with some support. You know, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard to try to break down that barrier and wall that she's built up, and so much so in the thinking that God, you know, that God is dead to her. But God, no, he's not. The God that we serve is not dead. He's That's alive, right. And he has the ability. He has the ability to heal us from all our wrongs. And one of the things that I'm assured of, and I'm going to stop here in a sec. And that, you know, we love that scripture in Isaiah where the Bible talks about he was wounded. He was wounded for our iniquities, and he was bruised. Am I right, Apostle? That particular
wounded
scripture?
Wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities.
Yes, sir.
Time to have our peace with upon him, and by
his stripes we are healed. Amen. We love that scripture, and rightly so. But I think that too often, what we do is we put the wrong focus on it. We think that it speaks to physical healing of the body. Not so. It's more so to deal with primarily with the spiritual healing, but by any type of healing, which is what this young lady needs, that's why he was bruised. That's why he was wounded. God did not come down here. God did not come down here and step up out of glory just so that we can have physical healing in a body that he says is going to return back unto the dust from which it came. And in no ways wise can that thing enter into the kingdom of God. It just cannot, because it is full of iniquity. It's full of sin. It cannot be saved. So he didn't come down here so that thing could be physically healed. Primarily, he came down here for healing such as what this young lady is going through. And that's why he took what he took. So much so that Jesus had declared when one of his last sayings, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All he knew was being with the Father. But because of the sacrifice that he had to make and because of what he had to take on, which was the sins of the world, past, present, and future, unfortunately, he couldn't. That can't keep you around God. That's the lesson for all of us, that when we engage and interact with sin and sinful things and be in places that we ought not be, guess what? God ain't going to be there. He don't forsake Hello. Us. We forsake him. So I would just try to encourage the young lady in this beginning process of her reaching out and of God allowing that to happen so that she can begin the healing process, so that she don't go off into a further abyss as she's headed right now. She's only 17 years old. And fortunately, she has yet to experience, from what I can tell, the penal system that they can place her in for her violent behaviors and things of that nature. So we just get praying and believing God that That healing process is going to take place, and that she's going to get surrounded by some folk that are able to lift her up and encourage her.
Amen. And I do want to thank you. You both will continue on, but we do have a couple callers that just called in, so I just want to bring the callers on real fast. Excuse me. Welcome to CQ Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
This is T. Hi, T. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. How's everyone
doing?
Hello,
God bless you.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, I've got a testimony. I'm actually in West Virginia with my family.
Oh, hi, Pastor Kathy Holland.
Yes, Pastor Kathy Holland will be on here. It was our third church anniversary. We just getting out of church, and it was a beautiful day, all day long. It was just beautiful, and I just want to say I'm thankful for, you know, being able to be with my family, my sister, celebrating their third anniversary. And I want to ask you all to pray for a safe trip. I'm actually getting ready to go to North Carolina today. So I'm just going to spend time with my family.
I'm so proud of you, T. I'm so proud of you.
I've had a full day, but it was a blessed day. It was a blessed day. And I just want everybody to pray, you know, that for everyone's safe travel, you know. I had family from North Carolina, other parts of West Virginia. My son was there, my grandbabies, my oldest brother. I mean, it was a lot of us. So, you know, I just want you all to pray for it.
That is great. So you said you're on your way to North Carolina now?
Yes, yes I am.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then Thursday. You just heard me for the South. Yeah, for the South, you know.
Yeah, I'm going down to spend a few days with my brothers. I got two brothers there and a sister-in-law. So I'm going down and spend time with them, and then Kathy will pick me up Thursday. Then we headed to Johnstown, PA, to another church anniversary of the minister that, you know, took me into the church in West Virginia.
Oh, my goodness. See, Minister Weathersby, do you guys hear this?
Amen. Well, I'm grateful and thankful to God because I remember the testimony from last week. So one of the thoughts that I had last week about, and it coincides with what we were talking about earlier, this is the healing that God died for.
Amen.
And he made the families to be made whole. He died so that we can be in to come back into a right standing relationship with him and also within our families as well, because it is crucial. It is crucial for the believer to understand the relationships that God expects between us and family and in our marriages as well. If you look at the scriptures, if you're not doing it right with your family and your marriages, I'm telling you, you're not doing it right with the Lord.
And
it's just not happening.
Amen. So, and you know what? Listen, we're proud of you, Minister Weathersby. I know you remember the testimonies from the last couple of weeks. And Apostle Williams, you're not familiar with T, but T has a wonderful testimony, and she was going through so many things at so many different times, and it was one thing after another, and
yeah.
then she wasn't
yeah.
going to church, and she found the church home, and her sister is a pastor, but she didn't live out in New Jersey with her. She lives in Virginia. So T has traveled to celebrate her sister's third year anniversary with her church, in which she is, correct me if I'm wrong, but she's the first black pastor
in southern West Virginia.
That's right. That's
female.
Right.
Female.
Oh,
yes.
Female. Yeah, let's say, yeah, female, because West Virginia, I was there for 4.5 years, and oh, yeah, they got some, yeah.
But the best part, I didn't tell you guys, I surrendered myself today, too.
Oh, my.
Ah, that's even better.
Wow,
amen. Amen.
It was a beautiful, as well as my son. My son did, too.
Wow. You know what?
Amen. Amen.
So proud of you. So proud of you.
It's been a beautiful, but I had to call in. I'm probably going to end up losing you guys. Or, you know, like I said, I'm in the car with my brother, sister-in-law, and my niece. So we've stopped at the service station, but, you know, once they get back in, they'll be talking and everything. And I just want to call you all and say pray for us. We'll pray for you guys, and I love you.
And I just want to tell you I'm proud of you, Steve. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
So proud of you. So you travel safe, and we'll definitely pray for you. As always, don't worry about it. We'll always keep you in our prayers. And if you need anything, you know, please don't hesitate to call, because I know you've been you're a long way from home. You know, you're a long way from home where you live, but you are traveling with family and family that you haven't seen, and now you guys have prayed together, and it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful, and I'm happy for you.
And I feel good, too. I really do.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Yeah. So. All right. I love you guys.
Love you, too.
All right. God bless you.
All right. Thank you.
God bless. That's
right,
a good thing.
That is amazing. Especially when we remember her testimony from the initial testimony to everything else that had transpired with the keys in the apartment, and wow, it's wonderful.
God has to bring us to a place where we can surrender to Him.
Yeah.
Because this is what people have to understand. I know Apostle, he understands this greatly. A lot of times you talk to people and they think that they can orchestrate that surrender. You know, tomorrow, you know, I did some things I got to do. I ain't ready yet. You are never going to be ready. You'll never be ready. God has to allow things to happen in your life that will bring you to the point of surrender. And that's how he draws us. We got to be mindful. We got to be reminded of the fact that sometimes there are situations and circumstances that happen in our lives that when we just finally just sit there and look at it and say, well, wait a minute, I can't do anything about this. There's nothing I don't have no visible means of being able to overcome this situation or deal with this particular thing. And the Bible says that when we're made weak, God's made strong. He's made strong. And it only becomes evident to us when we're made weak.
Hello.
We thank God. We thank God for the surrendering, because that's important. We talked about this at my church not too long ago. A preacher came in last Sunday and talked about salvation and how that's a vital thing. But you know what? That's not the end of it all. We have to be converted in order for salvation to really mean anything to us. And when we're converted, things change. We start to look to do things that are pleasing to God on a daily. And we start to surrender things that have been holding us down, that's been keeping us in bondage. Not the devil. This is things
Come
of our
now.
Own doing.
Yeah.
Amen. Not the devil. Because he ain't got that kind of power.
Right.
Amen. What I want to do is I just want to bring on one more caller real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Future Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please? Can you hear us okay? Prophet
hey,
Marcus.
Prophet Marcus. Yes, I'm here. Prophet. Yes, I'm sorry. Praise you. How you guys?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you all.
I'm glad he came on, because I was going to say, Lavina, is that medication kicking in on you or what? You think callers are coming in?
No, I just wanted to make sure I was the one that's up. You know, I don't want to take any turn,
No, you feel so good, sir. I was about ready to mess with her. She's on medication, sir.
I'm a little delirious, but I'm okay.
Okay, all right. So what's your security number again? I'm just kidding. Don't tell me that now. I'm just on for the record.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Oh, hey, bro.
How are you?
All right, sir.
I'm doing good. Praise God. Doing good. Just thanking God for just opportunity just to come back again and just to fellowship the brothers and sisters, and just expecting great things for God, from God, and looking forward to what He's about to do. God is just doing great things with the family and continuing to grow in us and even as far as in ministry. So come and join Jesus together, you know. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. So how has everything been? I finally see you, you know, you're busy around. I didn't see you for a while.
Yeah, I was in a 3-month sabbatical, you know, Facebook and everything else, and just some time just to quiet things down a little bit. You know, even Jesus had to pull off for a while and just, you know, get out of the main screen and everything, and sometimes just slow things down and get a different perspective, make sure you're seeing right and doing right. You know, because like I say, you can't, you know, you don't want to go around trying to save the world and lose your home. You know what I'm saying? As far as, and not take care of the business that God puts in your hand to do. You know, I just want to make sure I keep things in right perspective, because, you know, it's very easy to get very busy and be busy but not be productive for God, you know. So I'm learning that, and I just want to make sure I keep everything in order. It needs to be in order. And be, you know, be a positive example, you know. And I try to be the top role model, but, you know, I try to be an example, you know. Praise God.
Amen. Well, I just want to welcome you back, because, you know, like I said, it's been a while, but it's definitely good to hear from you. And it's an honor. And I thought of you, I want to say, about 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, how come I can't find his name on Facebook anymore? And I know, I said, like, how come I can't find it? But you know what happened? I think you changed your picture. And I'm like, oh,
okay,
this is not I'm like, this isn't Prophet Marcus right here. And when you go on from your cell phone, you know, the picture, it looks a little smaller, you know.
Right,
and I knew that the name was right, but then I couldn't figure out why the picture just wasn't what I thought it was before. So.
Yeah, that was a picture of me in the spirit. That's what it was.
Okay.
That's a picture of me in the spirit. That's all. I'm just kidding. But I just thought I'd just change things up a little bit, do something a little different. It's something about the lions and the eagles. They just say a lot just by their very image. And you know, the Lion of Judah, you know, that's how Jesus walked. Mm-hmm. Jesus walked as a lion, as a lamb. There were times where he roared as a lion and ripped some stuff up. Then other times he was just smooth as a lamb, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
I wish I'd go. You know, praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Now you still have your line, your conference line that you're doing. Are you still doing that as well?
Well, matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned that. What I'm kind of doing is I'm making a change. The first Thursday next month in May, what I'm gonna do for the next 4 weeks in May is have a spiritual boot camp, and all those who are willing to participate in that, it's gonna be a good crash course of stuff learning from 9 o'clock to 10:30. It will cover a lot of the basic stuff, but then we'll get into some heavier walking stuff, you know, as far as walking in the spirit of God and being sensitive to his voice and everything like that. Those things that make a difference in our Christian walk every single day. You know, sometimes we just want to focus in on those things. Sometimes we just need to fine-tune and make some adjustments just to make sure we hear right. That way we can do right, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, of course, you know, you're always welcome on GC Palace anytime.
Amen.
It's been a while, you know, but it's definitely good to hear from you. But stay on the line with us if you have a few minutes. We're going to bring on a call real fast.
Okay, sure.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Welcome to GC Palace Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Martha Stevens.
Hi, Martha. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. Would you like to share your testimony or say what you're thankful for this evening?
You know what? Yeah, I got to be thankful. You know, I'm gonna repeat myself for a moment, because this is not usual for me. But I told Papa Marcus what had happened on Friday. I got suspended on Friday because I got in a fight because the person had punched me first, and I took defended myself. And I went to church yesterday, and they asked me to sing. And I had told them, I said, wait a minute. I got to get myself together first before I do anything. Because first you're going in the church acting all holy. But what you doing? What am I going to do when I get out of the church? Am I going to fight that same girl that I fought the other day? I mean, and I refused myself before the whole congregation, everybody. Everybody heard about it. And I was like, why am I telling the whole church this? It's because that it's an open rebuke to myself. And I had told God today, and I said, God, you know, even if I am suspended, this is my time to get my focus back on you, nobody else. I'm sorry, God, and I thank God because I could have killed her. I mean, I was going off because the police had to come and take me off her because I was trying to kill her. Like, that's how bad it was.
I don't want to interrupt you. But I just want to, you know, just remind you real quick, you know, being a woman of God, you know, you don't really want to, you know, say that you could have killed somebody, you know, when you are, you know, a child of God and you have so much in you and, you know, we purchase testimonies from week to week, you know, so you want to make sure that, you know, the choice of wording, you know, is a little different, you know, than, you know, I could have killed somebody, you know, that. I mean, my own spirit was like, whoa, you know, to that mm-hmm. to that one, you know, that was my own spirit, you know. So just, you know, just be mindful, you know, with the words. I know that, you know, with you being young and everything, you know, kids do say that from time to time. But just be, you know, just be mindful, you know, because we don't want, you know, anyone that's listening to GQ Palace to think that we're promoting killing any type of person or allowing it to go on Spiritual Sunday, you know. So. If you said, you know, continue your testimony, but continue it kind of without the killing part.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. But I just thank God for just letting me live, you know, and I thank God for letting her live as well. And I just thank God because I probably shouldn't have done that. But that was just defending myself. And I had told my principal, and the principal said she was not mad at me, and I refused myself in front of her because I told her, I said, you know, I'm supposed to be setting the example, and that's rude, that's disrespectful. I'm supposed to be in the world but not of the world. And I had told my brother and I told my dad, and it was just like, it was an open rebuke to me, for everybody, you know. And so I just thank God, and God had told me, Why are you doing this? And then I said, you know, and I was going on a fast that week, and it was my last day on Friday. It was my last day, and I said, you know what, God, it's getting on my nerves. It's really getting on my nerves. It's fucking my nerves. And God had tried to, and I let the flesh come over me, you know. Right. But I thank God anyway, and I'm still gonna press on. I'm not perfect. But yes. I still need to walk in the spirit more.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what I have to do, and I have to pray, and I have to read my word more. And that's what I'm going to do these 3 days that I've suspended. I'm just going to lay down before the Lord and just listen to Him and just fast at Him, no nothing, just getting down before Him and just praying to Him, like, God, show me what to do. What am I mm-hmm. going to do? Help me to set the example. What do you want me to say to that person when I go back? You know, and that's what I'm going to do, basically. And I just thank God for that.
All right. Well, I'm going to go to all the spiritual leaders for words of encouragement. But before they do that, I just want to ask you, did they do a mediation with you and the person that you were fighting?
I tried to, but they wouldn't let me do that. They wouldn't do that. I tried to.
But the person wouldn't do it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, the guidance counselor wouldn't let that happen for some reason. But I had told them maybe it would make a lot better, but it didn't. They didn't want to do it.
So. Well, before you go back to school, just make sure that, you know, you do speak to your dad and, you know, you inform him, you know, and just, you know, explain to him that sometimes when in the heat of the moment, you know, kids don't want to do mediation. But in order to continue on with your education and going into a safe environment, you know, to receive your education, a mediation might be necessary because otherwise the fighting is going to continue. It's not going to stop. You know, you want a mediation to find out what happened, what was the problem, and how do we prevent it from happening again. You know, so in the process of your 3 days, you know, home, just, you know, speak to your dad from time to time. You know, I do work with children as well, and I'm big on the mediation thing, you know, and I work with violent kids. So you might just want to make sure that you speak to him about the mediation, you know, and he can speak to your guidance counselor on your behalf so that a mediation can take place. So by the time you guys come back, you're not going to see each other and start fighting all over again. Okay?
Okay.
But I'm going to go to the spiritual leaders for words of encouragement. Anyone can go first.
Go ahead, Minister.
He put you on a spot this time. You can go first.
Well, that's all right, because that's one good turn that deserves another.
Yes,
thank
yes.
God. Well, you know, I, as disturbing as it was to hear about, you know, that declaration that Martha made, I think it had to be made. It's something that had to come forth, because there's something that the mediation sounds great. From a spiritual standpoint, there needs to be something that we got to look at spiritually as to what would permit us to get to the point where we want to physically harm somebody so much so that it might be injurious to them or take their life.
Right.
There's a cause. There's something that we're struggling with, that we've been struggling with, something that we're dealing with from our past that has not been released properly, that's allowing that to happen. And it will rear its ugly head at any given moment because it's a part of our flesh. So, you know, if that's not dealt with appropriately, then, you know, and I'm not one that's a pessimist or like to speak things on a negative standpoint, but I know that things have to be dealt with. They have to be dealt with in a way, because the Bible tells us that we war against not flesh and blood, but against spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, anything that allows us, that are children of God, that know the Word of God, where He tells us that we should anger, but sin. We can have anger, but sin not with your anger. And we allow ourselves, and I say allow ourselves, to engage
allow.
In an activity where we, you know, demonstrate that anger of sin. There's something that needs to be dealt with. There's something that needs to go before the Lord so that we can get delivered from that.
I agree.
And healed from something or another that's causing us to, you know, have these moments where we will. Fight out, you know, even when provoked. You don't have to. That's the thing about things that I used to tell people this all the time. Never allow your emotions to dictate how you deal with a situation, because every time you do, you're going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be wrong because when you're operating on emotions, then you're operating in flesh. And when you do that, you're going to react. And the first reaction is, somebody hit me, I'm going to hit them back. They try to injure me, I'm going to try to injure them.
So. That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point, too. You know, you are operating in flesh. That's an excellent point. Who would like to go next? Apostle William, would you like to go next?
Amen. Both. I've heard things both in the positive and in the negative sense. I say the negative sense is that, as the minister was saying, we have to find out what is the root of it. What causes these type of things? What causes these things to trigger? And, you know, and at a moment's notice, you lose your temper. At a moment's notice, you throw all normality and clarity out of the window, and then after that the fight is on. But she's talking the positive side is in the solution standpoint. She already knew what she needed to do. She needed to go ahead to her dad, speak to the person, if possible, and while she's on this sabbatical, to go ahead and pray and get into her word more. But the main thing I do want to say is, as she's getting into the word, it's equally important that the word gets into her.
All right, sir.
All right.
Because if the word gets into her, then she will be, she has an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and be able to process what is going on, and instead of reacting, responding in a more positive way.
Amen.
And because one of the toughest things we for us to do, especially as Christians, is to have the word discipline in our vocabulary. Because, like, if somebody, like you said, she said, you know, the, you know, it was triggered, the anger was triggered, and the fight was on. But if she, mm-hmm. she had discipline and the word got into her, and I believe it was in John that you abide in me and my words abide in you,
that's right.
You'll have whatsoever ye will, and it shall be given unto you. And mm-hmm. it's got to be that two-sided street, you know, where she's getting into the word and the word is getting into her, because that way the Holy Spirit can start speaking to our heart. Remember this song by Donnie McClurkin, "Speak to My Heart, Holy Spirit."
That's right.
And as she begins to get this isolation time with God, then God will speak to her heart and show her, you know, this is the proper way to handle it. This is the proper way to process this. So that way, the enemy doesn't get a toehold in. And after he gets a foothold and a toehold in, it then becomes a stronghold.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Amen. Prophet Mark, is you there?
Yes, ma'am. Well, my biggest thing is with this here is the thing, you know, I remember from high school, it's very easy, if, you know, for people to try to provoke you to do some stuff. But, you know, this is where your love walk is tested. Who has squeezed your fruit lately? See, this is where the fruit of the Spirit comes in, because, you know, when you have to understand, you have to have patience, loss of self-control, all of these things come into place. Because it goes to the point of, it's a power thing now. Because are you going to relinquish power to the enemy and allow them to dictate, push your button, and provoke you? Because see, it's all a choice. It goes back to choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to be offended. You can choose to allow someone to get you to that point. Because before a bomb had to go off, before you can stop a bomb from going off, you have to defuse it. Mm-hmm. And so when you allow the Holy Spirit inside of you to help you to walk in that self-control, some, you know, things can be avoided. But then there's sometimes if you're not on your love walk, you got to really tighten down and be careful. That's what we're talking about, walking in the Spirit. See, when we say walking in the Spirit, a lot of times people think about supernatural, just far as you being on deep. No, well, when you walk in the Spirit, that means you're sensitive to the voice of God, and you're sensitive to His leading.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see something coming up like this, you have to know how to cut it off before you get that far.
Amen.
Allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And when you talk about your fruit being squeezed, you know, somebody try to push your button at the right time, self-control must kick in. Because you got to realize, like I tell people, if I'm going out there and fighting somebody, people will look at me like, and you're supposed to be an example. They'll never let that die down. Every time in the world, no matter how much good I do, they'll always keep going back to that one negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to think about what we do, because we don't know how the choices we're going to do today is going to affect our tomorrow. And that's why we have to be careful. You may only have one chance to make the right choice.
Amen.
That's where self-control comes in. And so that's why, you know, yes, you know, she does need to allow the Spirit of God to really minister to her heart, because self-control, in anyone's hand, if you don't learn how to operate self-control, especially with stuff like that, you could make a decision that could mess your life up for life.
Mm-hmm.
Like she said, she could have gone drastic, and then right now could have been thinking about it behind the penitentiary. get all these jailhouse. You know, so, you know, it's self-control. We have to go back to self-control. Understand, we have to be led by the fruit of God, well, operating the fruit of the Spirit and by the love of God. Everything should be based off love. Love should motivate me not to allow myself to go that far, because what's going to come after that is not going to be good. So, amen.
Amen. And Father, I don't want you to think that, you know, we, you know, we're coming down on you. You know, we're really just giving you really some amazing advice, you know, and knowing, you know, you being a woman of God, you know, I'm sure you will take the advice and you will take heed to it and, you know, and you will, you know, accept it as encouragement and, you know, food for thought at the same time. You know, me personally, I've seen a lot of kids that, you know, someone pushes their buttons and, you know, and they decide that they want to act a fool, and in the process of them acting out, they end up doing jail time. You know, I've seen it happen too many times, and I've seen it happen to good kids, you know, who didn't deserve to really lose their cool against somebody. So I'm just saying, you know, just please, you know, be mindful, and you have to practice self-control. I completely agree. Self-control, being a teenager, I'm going to say being a teenager is one of the hardest things you're going to have to practice as a teenager.
It is.
Self-control. You know, because you're going to see so many people are going to push those buttons. And if you allow one person to push your buttons, other people are going to see, okay, you know what? I don't know how to set her off. You're not supposed to give them the satisfaction of that. You know, you know better than that. So just, you know, be mindful with it. I hope the words of encouragement, you know, has helped you, you know, at this time. You know, I hope it's helped you. And, you know, just really do some deep, I say, a self-evaluation, you know, of yourself first.
Excuse me, Sister Living. May I interject one more thing?
Sure, go ahead.
Because, you know, also, you know, just let her see. Because, you know, that can happen to any one of us. Any one of us.
Absolutely.
If any one of us do not, I mean, there's been times in my life where certain things and certain decisions I made that wasn't the best decisions. And if I look back closely, I can see, you know what, I wasn't up on my time with God during that time. And so I made a decision according to the flesh and not the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See, that can happen to anyone. And if we're not in there, that's why no one's exempt. I don't care what title you have. The fact of the matter is, if you're not on your relationship with God, that can happen to anybody. So I just want her just to know that, because see what happens too, you have some hot-headed adults.
Yes, you do.
So that's why it goes beyond the teams. You know, when you have some hot-headed adults, when, you know, this started from a hot-headed teenager. So that's
right.
Why if you don't redirect this stuff now and get control of it now, it's going to go into your adulthood, and now it goes beyond juvenile. Now you get charged as an adult, and you look at it from a different perspective. They look at it from a different perspective. So that's why it's good that you're seeing this now, because you're actually heading some things off. If you take this time now and really allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you in this area and strengthen you, now, as you become an adult, you have that self-control in place. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for where Prophet Marcus ended up going to, because that's what I was thinking about. The importance of what happened with Martha was just not significant for her, but it's for all believers in Christ, no matter what your age is. And that's why we have to be submissive to the will of God daily, because if not, there's no other way that we're going to be able to exercise that self-control on our own. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen on our own, because again, our nature says, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You injure me, I'm going to injure you back. It's only through the will of God that we recognize that, you know what, greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If God is for me, who can be against me? And I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who first loved me. So I don't have to engage in the things that somebody else engaged. I don't have to allow my natural self to respond to a situation because, you know, somebody tried to do wrong to me. I'm better than that. And there's right. nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having that mentality in Christ. I mean, I'm not making a boast upon who I am in and of myself, but I'm certainly making a boast about the one that has saved me and has brought me and took me to a level, you know, within him that puts me above being able to just react based upon my natural instinct.
Amen. And I just think that, you know, the basis of me saying that, you know, being a teenager, you know, and being young is because I believe that if it's corrected right now, by the time that she's an adult, you know, she'll be able to deal with something like this, you know, different. You know, she'll be
Amen.
Able to, you know, really control herself. You know, I remember being the young girl that was fighting and acting a fool. Believe me, I was there. I completely understand. I get it. You know, but me being 35 years old, you know, at this point, you know how to control yourself. You know, that's something that you learn as you go. If fighting is your answer, you know, if you feel like you have to allow someone to get you to that point, you know, that's why I said that right now is crucial. You know, you learn the self-control right now, and as you become older, you really understand exactly what self-control really is. You know, I just think that that's important. What we're going to do, we have a couple more people that has called in to the show. We're just going to go to a song real fast, and after the song, we're going to bring on a couple more callers.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Pastor.
Anytime.
I think I can make it now. Just tell me what I need to do.
Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, Father, forgive me.
Forgive me.
I'm sorry.
Please help me.
Help me.
I love you.
I love you.
I need you.
I need you.
Hold me.
Hold me.
Jesus.
My heart.
My soul.
My soul.
Please take me.
Take control.
Control.
Right now.
Right now.
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 Right.
You ain't got
right
no
now.
Smile.
And even when you feel so alone.
Everybody,
and even in the midst of all of you, and when you're sick and tired of all the rain, remember that the rain won't last always. And in Christ Jesus, you got so much to gain.
You see, a trials come to make it, and the storms won't last.
Remember, my brother, my sister, it's only temporary.
See, that's the reason for this song. Wherever you go,
that's something you've got to know.
God is still there.
We've been made to burn now.
Welcome back to GC Power Spiritual Sunday. We're just going to bring on another caller. Welcome to GC Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy.
How you doing? How everybody doing?
I'm blessed.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed. I'm just calling to give out my testimony.
All right.
So I'm just happy to be alive, to see another day, you know. Every day is a struggle for me, so I just live and learn as I go.
And how has the week been for you?
Excuse me?
How has the week been for you? You were explaining last week, you know, you were going through some things, you know. How are you this week? You know.
Oh, no, I'm doing better now. Everything is under control.
Perfect.
I'm good. You know?
Perfect.
It's just, I got to love him from a distance, like I said now. You know what I mean? I really got to enforce that. I got to love him from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? There you go. Hello?
Still here. Yes, I'm still here too. I don't know if you can hear me. But I was explaining that we were having some problems with Blog Talk all week. So seems like it's starting up a little bit, but we're going to keep on going anyway. You know, but I do agree with the love you from a distance. You know, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, sometimes we have, it's unfortunate, but sometimes we do have to do our families that way if they're not, you know, positive and they're not doing the right thing or they're not walking down the right path. You know, I would never say leave them, you know, but I would just say, you know, I agree, love them at a distance. You know, if that's all that you can do to help them and, you know, if they haven't changed their life the way you've changed yours, then you're absolutely correct, you know. I'm going to go to the spiritual leaders to get some words of encouragement to Brother Jeremy. Anybody?
this is almost like a first.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I just want to tell you, brother, just to be encouraged. You know, family, you know, family is family, man. You know, you know, as much as we want them to change, some stuff they're just not going to change on. And so we love them for who they are. And we just know when it comes to family, we just have to just adjust. You know, you just have to say, well, you know what? I know with family, I have to walk in a little more love. So you kind of pack a little more love when you go around them because you know it's going to take all that. It's going to take a little more of that to kind of keep things on that level with them. But don't allow them to. Don't give nobody that kind of power over you to where you allow them to push you to the edge or cause you to, you know, feel a certain way with them like that. You know, people are going to be people. public opinion changes. One minute they love you, next minute they don't. I mean, so you just have to make sure, because God, stop it, y'all. God don't change, so don't you change. You just be who you are and just maintain and continue to love well. And if you have to, you know, let the Lord help build you up even stronger, just so you can keep things in proper order when you go around them, do that. Take the extra time to prepare yourself, because, you know, and then pray for them too. You know, it's hard to hit someone you pray for. Pray for them. When you pray for them, God will deal with your heart, and, you know, because even if they don't change, you will change God's way. He will change you. And they can come acting like a clown all they want, like they normally do, but it won't even faze you because your heart is in the right place. So, amen. I just want to encourage you with that.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Does anyone else have any words of encouragement?
Well, the one word that I would rather have for this brother is that love conquers all.
All right.
And putting with this love is the fact that, you know, I have to deal with you a certain way, but that doesn't stop the fact that I love you. I have to deal with you differently because I'm not going to, I made the decision not to let anyone or anything stop the love that I have for them. But Brandon God was right. Family is family. The person that has to change first is you.
Okay.
Because you can't sit here and allow other people to contaminate your atmosphere. You
yeah.
have to go ahead and keep that your atmosphere holy, keep that atmosphere on the positive side, keep that atmosphere to where you have that intimate relationship with God, that real relationship with yourself, and that blessed relationship that you have with others. Like he said, even if you have to love them from a distance, that's a start. Because if you can love them from a distance, God will close the distance. And God will draw eventually in his good time and in his good pleasure, draw them closer. But the thing is, you know, my brother, you cannot let anyone, anything contaminate your atmosphere. Because once you do that, then there's bitterness, there's resentment. And to give you an old country saying that my grandmother used to say to me, folks are just folks. They right, they wrong, they do what they do, and they make the choices that they make. But don't let their choices be your choices. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And I would just add that these are the times that try our faith. It's at moments like these that it's difficult to understand why family would act the way they would act towards us. But it just lets us know the enemy will use whomsoever is open to be used by him. And the first folks that he looks to try to do is the one that to utilize are those that are close to us and primarily family, because you never expect it. It's never anticipated. And it's the most devastating hurt that one can have. Naturally, when you have or you've been injured in a way that we considered ourselves to be injured, you know, anyone that has hurt us emotionally, by family. I'm always mindful of how quick the enemy stepped to Job's wife when God allowed and permitted a physical condition to come upon Job, so much so mm-hmm. that we know what happened initially in Job's test. He lost everything he had outside of his wife. And the second thing, that God allowed the enemy to attack his body, and his wife said the very same thing that the enemy told God he would get Job to say. Why are you holding on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Amen. That's a test for us. That's a mighty test to have that those that are close to you, you know, come at you in a certain way that it makes you have to make a decision as to what you're going to do. And what we have to do is what Jesus told Peter. How many times must I forgive my brother who offends me? 70 times 7, as oftentimes as it happens. Because that's what distinguishes us from those that are still in the world. You have the ability to forgive through the agape love of God. It don't make sense. Because, you know, why I want to forgive somebody that's done something wrong to me. But when you think about the bigger picture, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That was us. So,
amen.
It's a major test of our faith. And like I say, we can endure it. We can overcome it because he overcame it. And there is no trial or temptation that besets us that God is not aware of. So I would say just continue on in knowing that your faith is just being tested.
Man. What we're going to do just real fast, we're going to bring on Minister Cheryl Miller, and we're going to also bring on Pastor Nathaniel Hill. I believe I pronounced his name right. We're going to bring both of those onto the air right now. Just want to welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining us. Would you like to share your testimony or say what you're thankful for this evening?
I just thank the Lord just for his many blessings that he just continues to bestow upon me each and every day. Just thanking him for just the opportunity just to do his will, opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to just be an encouragement to those who need encouragement. There are just a lot of hurting people out there, a lot of people that's just going through so much. And we as the people of God, we must be steadfast. We must continue to pray and seek God so that we can be there for his people. And we're living a day and a time, you know, where people just feel like all hope is lost at times. But we as representatives of Christ, it's just important that we represent him well and that we don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ, that we don't sugarcoat the word, but we just continue to hold on to his unchanging hand. I pray that everyone had a blessed day today, and I just pray that God would just continue to pour out his many blessings upon his people, and may God just continue to prove himself mighty and strong and faithful on our behalf as he always does. I don't want to take up too much time, but it's always an honor and a privilege just to be able to be on. And I pray that God would just continue to bless you, Sister Lavina, for what you're doing. May he just continue to just enlarge your territory. And God bless you, Minister Wesley, for your faithfulness and your commitment being on the show. And to all of the guests, just may God just continue to bless all of you. May he continue to strengthen everybody.
It's always an honor. Miller, just want to tell you, it's always an honor. And you know that you're welcome anytime, you know, to come on the show, whether it's to share your testimony, come on as a special guest, or someone to pray for us, whatever it is that, you know, you feel in your heart to do, you're more than welcome to do it here at GQ Ballas. It's an honor, you know, having you on.
Thank you so much, for some reason,
we are having some a little bit of technical difficulties. Pastor Hill, are you there?
Hello. I'm here.
All right. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
That's good. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you again this afternoon. We're just getting in from Sykesville, South Carolina. They insulated a young man to become a pastor of a church over there. And after all that, they had a feast.
Oh.
They had a big feast. those people keep you doing. So you can tell how off you are right now. But I'm just glad to hear all the comments that was made, and I caught part of what they were saying earlier to the young man. I just want to make one comment about that, is that he got to understand that God told Abraham to leave and don't take none of his kinsmen with him. Sometimes in order for God to put us in a special place to get us to do what he needs for us to do, he got to separate family. Got to do it. You got to separate mom and daughter, brother, separate me from my children. But when he put you back, there's power. So be encouraged,
amen,
my brother. There's power when you come back. You're going to come back with so much authority and the anointing to be so heavy until, hey, you end up with God's word and go forward.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, you can convict them. That's our job now. God is setting out a group of people to convict people back to him. And in order for him to do that, he got to separate us from some people. I thank God for the separation myself.
Amen.
I thank God for the separation because it put me closer to him. And it's all about him. It's all about God. I thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
I do thank you. And I hope, and as Jeremy does, you know, continue, you know, on a day-to-day basis, that he, you know, will stay encouraged, you know, at all times. And, you know, and please remember that I am a phone call away, so we can always talk. I'm always on my phone, even though I'm at work. You know, I can text. You know, I could text, and, you know, I go to break. I could call people back. You know, so I'm only a phone call away. If you, you know, if you feel, you know, that you need to talk, you know, please don't hesitate, you know, to call me. You know, I do wonder, you know, how you're doing and what you're doing, you know, because for those of you who don't know, Jeremy's my brother, you know, and he was expressing, you know, some situations he was dealing with on his mother's side of the family, and I worry, you know, I worry about him, you know, he's my brother and my father, you know, my father's side, my father's son. And I do worry, you know, and it's always good to know that you're doing good. And, you know, I know every day is a struggle for you, you know, with you having your testimony and you just living day to day. I know it's a struggle, but I'm here for you. And I don't want us to lose connection. You know, I want us to definitely stay connected.
Okay.
He's in good hands. Don't worry.
who's that?
My girlfriend Dawn.
Oh, hi, girlfriend Dawn. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. I'm great. well, since you're on the radio and you said he's in good hands, would you like to give your testimony or say what you're thankful for?
I'm just faithful, you know, to have another chance at life. I've been through some things as well, and I'm just, you know, glad that I'm here, and I have three beautiful boys, and, you know, I'm just glad to have another day.
Amen. Amen. Well, now that I know, you know, you said he's in good hands, can I just wish both of you to be encouraged, you know, and, you know, just stay encouraging each other, you know, at all times. And, you know, my brother, you know, of course, I'm only a phone call away. You know, please don't hesitate to reach out and, you know, just let me know you're okay.
All right. I will do that.
Thank you so much. I just want to make sure that I give the number for the show again, because we actually have a lot of callers this evening. So the number is 646 200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air, or you can just continue to listen to the show. What we're going to do right now, we're just going to go for one more song. I just want to figure out where all the noise is coming from. Like I said, Black Talk has been
We've been having technical difficulties with them all week, so I just want to see if we can possibly fix the situation, because we do have another show coming up. It's called Messenger of Light with Mr. Eric Vandross. So at this time, we're just going to go to a song. When we come back, we're gonna close out in prayer. And after we do that, then Mr. Vandross is going to have his show for everyone just down the line, please.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
For some who don't understand our purpose and may not understand our praise, we as a family in Jesus' name would like to tell you the reason why we sing.
Someone asked a question, why do we sing? Then we lift our hands to Jesus, what do we really mean? Someone may be wondering, when we sing the song, at times
I sing because I'm happy.
I sing because I'm happy.
I sing.
I sing because I'm free.
His eyes on
me. His eyes on them.
That's the reason.
That's the reason why I sing.
I want to know if you can help me say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason.
You're the reason why I sing.
Come on, say glory.
Glory,
thank you, Jesus. You're the reason.
Why I
can we say it again? Someone asked.
Someone asked question.
Oh, glory. Why do we sing?
Why do we sing?
When we lift our hands.
When we lift our hands to Jesus.
Oh, what do we really mean?
What do we really mean?
Someone may be wondering.
Someone may be wondering.
When we sing our song,
when we sing our song,
at times we may
be crying,
and nothing's even wrong.
Nothing's even wrong.
This is the reason why I sing, because
I sing because. When the song is over, we've all said amen. We've all said amen.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And your heart just keep on singing.
And the song will never end.
And the song will never end.
Listen. And if somebody asks you,
and if somebody asks,
was it just a show?
Was it just a show?
Lift your hands and be a witness.
Lift your hands and be a witness.
And tell the whole world no.
And tell the whole world no.
And when we cross that river.
And when we cross that river.
To study war no more.
To study war no more.
We will sing.
We will sing our songs to Jesus.
The one whom we adore.
The one whom we adore.
Come on, family, let's take it home. I sing because.
I sing because.
I sing because.
Glory,
you're the reason why.
give the praises to you.
I give the praises.
Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you. You're the reason why I sing.
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 You're my melody at midnight, Jesus.
You're
my song and my song, Jesus.
You're the
hymn in my heart, Jesus.
You're the reason why I sing.
You're the reason why.
You're the reason why.
Oh, I love you. I love your name, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. For the rest of my life, Jesus, you'll be the reason why I sing.
Such a wonderful song. Such a wonderful song.
Amen.
We've come to the end of this show. And but what we're going to do is, if anyone has any announcements that they'd like to announce, anything that they are participating in and they would like anyone to participate in it with them and support them, please make sure you give the information out at this time. After we do that, I'll just thank everyone for calling and listening, and then we'll have Minister Cheryl Miller end in prayer this evening. Does anyone have any announcements? Minister Weatherby.
Yes.
Why do I have to do this to you?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, sis. Well, I have two books that are out there now. My first book is dealing with the marriage relationship, although it's really in relationships in general, relationship building, titled Unless God Builds the House. And then the second book that's been in publication now for about a month now is on family, the family relationship. And it's titled Check the DNA, What Happened to We Are Family. Both are available under ZulonPress.com, which is a Christian self-publishing company, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Booksamillion.com, and GoogleBooks.com. Amazon and Barnes & Noble, you can also get it in ebook form.
Amen. Amen. Does anyone else know, Prophet Marcus, you had mentioned something that you were going to be working on?
Yes. I was mentioning about the spiritual boot camp in May. Anyone can inbox me, Prophet Marcus Dupree, on Facebook, and I will send you an invite with the information. It's a different line that I'm going to use versus the line that I usually use on Thursday nights. So if anyone have any questions, just if you, Mrs. Slovenia, if you can, if you need to just pass the information on me too, if someone needs to get in contact, or as a matter of fact, I'll probably send an invite to the group page.
Okay.
And we can go from there. If anyone needs to get in contact, they can use the they can go to the invite on the page. But yes, the spiritual boot camp, and it's spiritually enriching and challenging you to grow. And just like some of the issues we talked about tonight, being prepared for those things that are unexpected and being able to handle the changes that come up, handle things that come up, and still maintain your integrity in God. You know, staying connected with the Lord. So, amen. Just, you know, feel free to inbox me if you can, or you know, Sister Lavina, and we'll be glad to sign you up. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And my special guest this evening, Apostle Ricky D. Williams. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. God bless everybody. God bless everybody. We're going to be changing some lineups as far as our teleconference ministries. We're going to be starting a new internet program where you'll be able to receive fresh word, fresh messages from, and fresh teaching from both my wife and myself, as everyone mentioned, you can just inbox me on Facebook, and we'll post the lineups and everything. We're finalizing everything, and that should be done at the end of this week. What is the new lineup is going to look like? We were going to have new websites. We're doing everything to accommodate the people, that we please God, and that we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that your time that the enemy has had to keep you bound, to keep you less than, and to keep you under his feet is definitely over. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And I missed when it was going to be. I'm sorry.
We're going to be giving the announcement not this coming Tuesday, but next Tuesday, about the new lineup and everything.
Okay.
And that way, you know, we'll be able to announce, you know, how we're going to receive with the lineup and everything. We're going to get new websites and everything. It's a total makeover. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, at this time, I just want to thank everyone, of course, for calling in and just being able to help us come on one accord and continue to do God's work. I want to give a special thanks to Apostle Ricky D. Williams and his wife for joining us. She didn't say too much. She didn't say too much, but
he said you would listen this time. He said you're going to participate on the next.
Okay, all right.
You know what, Sister Lavina, since you're there, I wanted to add this one little thing. I thank God for the man of God who clearly understands the relationship of having a spouse. And acknowledging the fact that his wife is side by side with him in ministry, because it's clear for me when I heard him from the very beginning that he understands what it means to be one in a relationship in marriage. So I just want to applaud him on that and make sure that got acknowledged.
And the minute he said it, he said my rib, and I'm like, my rib. You know what? I love it. You know, and I was waiting to see if you were going to come in and, you know, and chime in and, you know, and definitely thank him for recognizing the one accord. I love it. I love it. I thank you. I thank you both. And hopefully, you know, whenever you guys want to come back on, you're more than welcome to come back on. Just send me a message or give me a call. You know, you're more than welcome to come on. And once your website and everything gets up, you're more than welcome to come on the show and, you know, explain, you know, what you're doing and, you know, how you're going about doing it and how, you know, GQ Palace can work with you, you know, and,
Amen.
You know, and support you. I mean, we're both doing the same thing, doing God's work, you know, and it's an honor to have you on the show. Minister Miller, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to end in prayer for us this evening?
Sure, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're just truly grateful, dear God, for your goodness, your kindness, your tender mercies. God, we're just truly grateful for your great love and for the many blessings, Lord God, that you continue to bestow upon us. We thank you, O God, for you blessing us to be here today. We thank you, O God, just for you helping us to realize that it's all about you. It's all about being lights and examples. And we just pray that you will continue to have your way in our lives. Continue to lead God and direct this, Father God, in the way that we should go. And we pray that you would be glorified and lifted up in our lives, O God, so that men will see your good works and glorify you in heaven. Father God, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you will just continue to be with all of those who ask for prayer, those who called in. We're praying, O God, for those who even gave a word of thanksgiving. We pray that you will continue to bless them like never before. We ask you, O God, to continue to prove yourself mighty and strong, dear God, on their behalf. We just pray, oh God, and I just lift up Sister Lavina's brother. We pray that you would just continue to have your way in his life. We pray, Father God, that you would just continue, Lord, to make him and mold him, oh God, into what you would have for him to be. And all of those, Father God, who are going through, oh God, who called in, oh God, to make their request known, we just pray that you would individually do a work in their lives, Father God, as only you can. Father God, we just pray, oh God, that you will just continue to be with this radio station, GQ Palace. We pray in Jesus' name that you will just continue to have your way, Father God, and be a blessing
oh God, as you already are, oh God, to your people, that you will continue to prove yourself faithful and strong, Father God, on their behalf. Continue to be with Sister Lavina. Continue to be, oh God, with her fiance as well, Rich Money, dear God. We just pray that you will just continue to use this couple for your service and glory. And all of those, oh God, who will play a part, who are hosts on this show, we pray for a double anointing upon their life, oh God, that you will just continue to use them in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you, Father God, for this time and this opportunity to just give your name the reverence and honor that you deserve. And we pray that even this week, oh God, as we embark on this week, we pray in Jesus' name that you will just continue to allow us to just put you first, allow us to continue to concentrate on you, Father God, and make mention of your name. Allow us, oh God, to not be ashamed of the gospel, but to boldly speak the truth in love so that people will be set free and delivered, oh God. We just thank you, oh God, again for this time and opportunity. We just thank you, Father God, just for all things that you continue to do for us, oh God. We thank you for looking beyond our faults. We thank you for seeing our needs. God, we thank you for seeing the best in us. God, we just thank you, Father God, for what you're getting ready to do, oh God, in our lives as we put you first, oh God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and we thank you. Amen.
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 Amen. And just in closing, everyone, please have a blessed night. Have a blessed and safe week. And I look forward to speaking to you guys next week. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
I know I am. How many of you know that you are too? God is good today. Yes, God is good today. We are here on another edition of Messenger of Light. I am your host, Eric Bendross. Thanks be to GQ Palace. Thanks be to Rich Money and Lavina Polite. God is good, and we thank him. We thank him for another day on this beautiful green earth. Thank you, Jesus. Let me go ahead and open up in prayer. Dear gracious and eternal Father, Lord, as I was just saying, we thank you so very much for another day. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak through me now. For Father, we have a mission, and that is leading souls to Christ, Lord. You know that is why this forum, this program was created, Lord. We ask you to bind every demon, every demonic spirit that is seeking to extinguish your light, Lord. For we know that you have unconditional love for us, Lord. You have mercy. We just need to reach out and grasp it, Lord. You have grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Lord, I ask you to heal everybody that's broken, Lord. I pray a special prayer for those in Boston, Lord. I lift them up to you. Bring healing, both mentally, physically, and emotionally, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone on this program right now, those under the sound of my voice, GQ Palace Radio family, my pastor, and Church Family Faith Bridge Fellowship. Lord, I ask you to work within our spirits today. Lift us up, Lord, as we go into this work week. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right, so let's get right to it. We have a topic today that is, the light is in you. Will you let it shine? Praise God. And first, as I said on last week, I'm going to give the students of light another opportunity right now to get your pads, your pens, and your Bibles out, because we're going to go to the Word. And so while you're doing that, let me remind everyone to, if you want to call in and chime in on the subject matter, please dial 646-200-3838. Again, that's 646-200-3838. You can just listen, but go ahead and press 1 so you can get in on this good stuff. The light is in you. Will you let it shine? First, I want to go to 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9. I was in church today, and we had a guest minister. And he went over some of this material, great stuff, you know. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading that. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's powerful right there. You know, that's saying that we're set apart, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And, you know, Jesus was here on earth at one time. He did what he had to do for us all. And a lot of us should be very grateful. All of us should be very grateful. He died for our sins. But he said that as he goes away, he wasn't just going to leave us like that. He left us a comforter, the Holy Spirit. So when you accept Jesus into your heart, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, there's an activation of something that is so very precious, the Holy Spirit, the light within you, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I just wanted us to talk about that because that's so crucial. How do you let your light shine, you know? Are you genuine with it, you know? What are your motivations? What are your feelings on that? And we're going to take some calls. But right now, I want to also talk about self-esteem. You might say, well, wait a minute, how do we go there? You can't have this light inside of you and be feeling down on yourself. You know, so I have some what we call life application notes that I want to read for you. And you'll see where I'm going here as I'm reading this. Alright, first one. In what ways are we made in God's image? God obviously did not create us exactly like himself, because God has no physical body. Instead, we are reflections of God's glory. Some feel that our reason, creativity, speech, or self-determination is the image of God. More likely, it is our entire self that reflects the image of God. We will never be totally like God, because he is our supreme creator. But we do have the ability to reflect his character in our love, patience, forgiveness, kindness, and faithfulness. To do some fruits of the Spirit. You know, that stuff that Christ really came to have us embody, you know. And those are just some of them, you know, but loving kindness, forgiveness, mercy, that's letting your light shine, you know. And again, you have to put yourself in a place where you know your worth, and that will also help you to project your light. Other notes that I have here: knowing that we are made in God's image and thus share many of his characteristics provides a solid basis for self-worth. Human worth is not based on possessions, achievements, physical attractiveness, or public acclaim. Instead, it is based on being made in God's image. Because we bear God's image, we can feel positive about ourselves. Criticizing or downgrading ourselves is criticizing what God has made and the abilities he has given us. Knowing that you are a person of worth helps you love God, know him personally, and make a valuable contribution to those around you. So it's important that we look at ourselves and know that we are children of the Most High God. It's very important. And also, again, I want to go back to Scripture. I want to go to John. And I'll give you some time. I'm doing a bit of jumping around tonight, but that's all right. So if you guys can turn to John. First. John 1 and 1. We're going to go to the 5th verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. I have a life application note for those verses. The darkness can never extinguish it. Means the darkness of evil never has and never will overcome God's light. Jesus Christ is the creator of life, and his life brings light to humankind. In his light, we see ourselves as we really are, sinners in need of a savior. When we follow Jesus, the true light, we can avoid walking blindly and falling into sin. He lights the path ahead of us so we can see how to live. He removes the darkness of sin from our lives. In what ways have you allowed the light of Christ to shine into your life? Let Christ guide your life, and you'll never need to stumble in darkness. How about that? Let Christ guide your life. I had to repeat that. And you'll never need to stumble in darkness. You know, friends, many times we get into situations, even on the job where we encounter folks, and see, Satan is just low down like that. He'll pick your most vulnerable time, and I know I'm talking to somebody right now on your job, and you're coming out of work, you're coming there to provide for your family, but you have that one person on the job that's always got something to say. But you know what? If you submit yourself, and this is scripture, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil, he will flee. Project your light, you know? Don't do that fight fire with fire. As my mother used to say, kill them with kindness, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. That's another way that you project your light, you know? Now, let's see. We are going to take some callers. Again, let me remind you of the number, 646-200-3838. Let's see who we have on the line. Okay, not yet. All right. Again, I have some questions for you, but in the meantime, while we're waiting to get our caller on the line, I'll go ahead and actually talk on these questions myself. One question I had, in our daily life, how do we project our light? Well, I'll tell you what I do. And I found that because it becomes like second nature. When you're doing the things of Christ and you delight yourself in the Lord, sometimes you don't even know you're doing it. You know, just being, I'll tell you about an incident today, and I don't like talking about what I do for people or what have you, because that's not what it's all about. But I had just had lunch. I was out at a restaurant, and I was sitting out in the waiting area at the mall, and a gentleman came up and he asked me, was that my food? Because I had actually taken some to go. And I said, yes. And then he said, well, can I have it? Now, I have to say, a lot of folks may have reacted differently, but without hesitation, I said, sure, yes. And I actually ended up buying him an orange juice to go with it. And my point is not to, you know, be boastful or seeking praise or anything. I'm just doing what God would have me to do in circumstances like that. That's just one example of letting your light shine. Another example, like I was speaking of, with employees on the job, you know, just doing the opposite of what the world would do. You know, the world's way of thinking is that get back. You know, that's just right down Satan's alley. When you can take yourself out of a situation, when you can become less and increase God so he becomes more, you're projecting your light, you know. And that's just one of the examples of projecting the light, letting it shine. And God is good. Amen. So right now what I want to do is I want to go ahead and let's go to a song right now. All right. God, Lord, take me back. Well, you know what? You don't have to take me back. I'm still fervent about the Lord. I still have that fervor. I still have that excitement because God is good today. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because you didn't have to do what you did. All right, I understand we do have Minister Weathersby on the line. Can we go ahead and bring Minister Weathersby on the line?
Praise God. God bless you, Brother Eric.
God bless you too, brother. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Amen. Well, I thank God for giving me strength because I didn't think I was going to be able to be on. I've had a long day and a short night. Didn't get no rest or sleep, but that's all right because God supplies all that we need. And I'm just grateful to God that he allowed me to just come here and be with you, my brother.
I do appreciate it. Amen. Amen. And just like you say, as Philippians 4:19 says, you know, he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory, like Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
So now, Minister Weathersby, I have a question for you, same one I asked myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in your daily life, what do you do to project your light?
Well, you know, I try to be consistent in my daily life, and that means that the things that I say, the things that I believe, I try to live them as well. And, you know, it's more that I think that's more important. That's the greatest testimony and witness you can have, not what you say or what you believe, but how you live what you say and what you believe. So again, it's a daily walk. It's a you know, the Bible tells us that we're to die daily to sin, so that the new man can flourish and continue to grow. So I just try to continue to live my life, you know, that's pleased, that so it can become pleasing to God, knowing that even in all that I do, it's never enough. but you have to keep doing. You have to do. You cannot, you know, not do and please God. So that's what I try to do, sir. I try to live my life and let that light shine forth. That's how it really shines forth, through the living.
Amen. Amen. Because most certainly Jesus is more concerned about our walk than our talk. You know?
Yes, sir.
I mean, now, death and life are in the power of the tongue, but as it says in James, the book of James, faith without work is dead. You know?
That's right. And so when you do of the word, and just not just hearers of the word, because, you know, we can hear it and we can talk it, but it don't mean nothing if you're not living it.
Amen. And that brings me to my next question. And, I mean, you kind of touched on this, but why? Why should we? Why is it important to let our light shine?
Well, you know, the Bible is very clear. No man has ever seen God. So in this life, you're not seeing God. You're not going to see God. And since we didn't have the ability to be eyewitnesses of Christ when he was living on this earth, what we do have is we have the power of God that dwells within us, the Holy Spirit. And it allows those that come in contact with us to be able to see God, to see Christ, because that's what the Holy Spirit is. I mean, it's a representation of God. And if we allow ourselves and submit ourselves unto the will of God, then that light will shine forth, and people will see God. And when they see God, then it draws them, because that's how God brings us into salvation with him. He draws us to himself. And that's why we have to let our light shine. That's why Jesus told the disciples to let your light shine among men, so that your Father in heaven can be glorified. They see your good works. And knowing that your works don't save you, we got to make that clear too.
Yeah, I know that's right. You can't merit this, you know, this thing.
No, you can't.
Right.
You can't be good enough too.
Right.
Some folks think it's their goodness. But you ain't got enough goodness. We can't conjure up enough goodness to merit what God did for us.
My. That's some powerful stuff right there.
Yes, sir.
But now, I want to ask you something, because there's some folks going through right now that, what do you do when another, say in the church, you know, because, you know, Satan seeks to, kill, steal, and destroy. You have another supposed brother or sister that's acting like, you know, they still in the darkness and you clash. What do you do in a case like that? You know?
Well, the Bible tells us that what we're supposed to do, number one, we need to pray for the person. You know, pray for their deliverance and that they will come into a right standing relationship with God and Jesus Christ. But also, we that are strong are supposed to bear the infirmities of those that are weak. So those, you know, any of our brothers and sisters in Christ that are weak in the faith, then that's where we come and uplift them and encourage them. Speak kindness to them. Don't beat them down. We don't need to give them a beat down. You know, we need to find a way to lift them up and encourage them in the spirit, and get them to where they need to be in their relationship with the Lord. And again, it's all about living your life in the proper way that you should live, because people have a way of being drawn to us. You have on occasion, you'll have somebody come up to you and they'll say something, well, you know what, bro, I'm not exactly sure what it is about you, but I know there's something special.
Yeah.
I know there's something special. And I'm just wondering, and, you know, could you just help me with something, or you know, because that's how people come to us. That's how people come to God. They see it in somebody. They see it in the child of God, and they want to know. So I wouldn't beat a person. I wouldn't beat them down. Find a way to get them encouraged and lift them up, and definitely keep them up in prayer, because the enemy is after, you know, those of us that are believers, not the non-believers. He's not after them. He's
That's
after
right.
believers. So, and we're supposed to be a help one unto another. So that's what I believe that we should do, sir.
Yes, because Scripture said, I mean, he wants to sift us as wheat, you know?
That's right.
But
Jesus told Peter, but I prayed for you.
Yeah.
And that's what we should do.
Power of prayer.
Amen.
But, and you touched on another, because I'm looking at the scripture here, John 13 and 34,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty much that's loving one another. You know, a new
yes,
commandment
sir.
I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You know,
that's right.
By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
That's right. And
that
love,
forgiveness.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's a love that's not of this world, because this is the type of love where Jesus told us that when you have people that spitefully use you, you pray for them, you forgive them, you extend love to them, even those that hate you. It's a different kind of love. It's a God love. But I'm reminded of, and I try to. And you know, just to bring it home to some folks so that they maybe get a clear understanding, well, just think of it in this vein. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's that's those of us that were unsaved.
Yeah, that's right.
While we were still sinning, he loved us that much.
Wow. But now, let me ask some, though, Minister Weatherby. I guess
sure.
I'm going to play kind of like devil's advocate here. Because I'm with you. I I'm there. But what about the individual that says, okay, now, you know, we done stepped on their toes. Now, y'all talking about something that's just too tall of an order. If John hit me, best believe I'm not going to just hit him. I'm going to knock him down. You know,
right.
You know, this whole love those despitefully miss you. Why is that so unnatural?
So unnatural of us to love somebody even when they spitefully use us, because
yes.
our nature says, if you hit me, I'm gonna hit you back. What you do to me, I'm gonna do to you. That's our nature, and that's why we have to keep that thing under subjection. The Bible tells us that, you know what, you can be, we had that on the earlier call, you can get angered and be angry, but you ought not let your anger lead you to sin.
Wow.
And because that's what it will do. Our nature is to you tit for tat. That's why
right.
there was a law that Jewish people abided by, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus came and corrected that thing and says, no, you need to love one another. I'm giving you another commandment, you know, love ye one another. And the reason why is because of, it was very clear, again, because of what he was doing for us. What God did for us was totally unwarranted, unmerited on our behalf. There's no way, based upon the life that we had been living, contrary to the will of God, that he should even have considered what he did.
My Lord. Because
he shouldn't even have to consider it, because he already said in his word, the wages of sin is death.
Right, and that was it.
That was it. But then...
But he came here.
Yes, sir. And that was his intent from the very beginning.
Yeah.
It was the intent from the very beginning. Even though sin came into the world by virtue of Adam and Eve, God had already made a plan of redemption for us when he told... Adam, after he questioned Adam and Eve about what they had done to cause sin to enter into the world, and he spoke to the devil. He didn't even ask him. He just says, well, let me tell you, you're cursed. I'm going to make you start, you're going to start living and crawling and walking along your, he used to walk upright, but then he got cursed to the ground where he crawled on his belly. And then he was told, and this is where redemption came in, that the woman is going to bear a seed, is going to have a seed that's going to do some damage to you. You're going to be enmity against each other. And that was Christ. He was foretelling the coming of what was going to happen when Christ went and died on the cross and went down into hell and took back all the things that we acquiesced or gave over to the devil. And yes. And then God raised him from the dead, because he had to be resurrected for that part of the salvation process to be complete, and then placed all power in his hands, where he
Amen.
Now sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf.
Well, wasn't that just a marvelous, awesome plan?
Yes, sir.
I mean,
we were done, because the Bible, we know what happened in Genesis, where it dealt with Noah, and talked about what happened with the destruction of the world. The heart, the man had gotten so depraved that our every thoughts were wicked and evil, and God got disgusted with us, and he couldn't find but one righteous man on the earth. He said, "I'm destroying everything," and he spoke to Noah, and Noah built that ark. It took him a while, but then God's judgment came forth. But he said, I won't do the world like that again. I won't do man like that again. But yet still, we continued on in our depravity, our sin, because of that free will of ours.
Yeah. So, okay, what do you say to the individuals that right now today in their life, they're giving it all they have,
mm-hmm.
and they're just not understanding, okay, see, some of us have this notion, and bathed in Christ, that as you go after God more, it's supposed to get easy. So now
that's a fallacy.
That's
a fallacy that has, unfortunately, has somehow or another crept into our way of thinking. We think salvation means that we're going to be saved from the ills of the world, and we don't have to endure the hardships and things of that nature. But that's not true. The Bible tells us we're going to be persecuted just for naming Christ, just for naming his name. And we ought not count it, we ought not look at it as a negative thing just because we find ourselves dealing with or going through something. I'm assured of this, that if I'm dealing with something or going through something, that's because of my relationship with the Lord is getting to the place where it needs to be, because and because of that, he's about ready to take me to another higher level in him. And every time
Amen.
You come upon spiritual elevation, you're going to go through some things that you're going to have to deal with on the spiritual level that's going to test you and try you to strengthen you so that you can go to that next level.
Key word, strengthen. You said it right there.
Yes,
so
sir.
If we change our way of thinking, renew our minds about these trials and tribulations, because Jesus said, you shall have tribulations, but
that's
he overcame the world. So we don't have to be worried about that. We shouldn't be worrying at all.
No, we shouldn't.
We should be fine. But, we do have our brothers and sisters that still say, hey, look, this is just too much. I'm about to lose my house. They're about to come repossess my car. But I've been doing X, Y, and Z. I've been doing right. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when a person has just totally got to the end of their rope, what else do you say to them?
Well, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's the time. That's the time, and everything that you said, I kept hearing that one key thing, I have.
Right.
That's our problem. When we try to do things on our own, we're only going to go so far. We're limited in what we're able to do. It's our best bet is to do what it says in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge God, and he'll direct your path. Put everything in him. Put all your trust in him. And he says in his word, when you're made weak, that's when I'm strong.
Mm.
So it's when we get to that point of where we just cannot figure out a way of doing anything on our own, then it's his time. I'm mindful of what happened with the woman that had that issue of blood for 12 years. She tried everything she could to get herself healed from that thing. But she couldn't. She spent spent all her money. She sought everybody she could sought after. But then she heard about Jesus. And she says, well, if I can just get close enough to him that I can touch the hem of his garment, I believe I'm going to be made whole. She tried everything that she could, and finally she tried Jesus. And Jesus said when she touched him, somebody touch me. And his disciples, they went crazy. They said, well, you know, God, Jesus, look, there's a multitude of folk out here. We're all pressed up against one another. What do you mean somebody touched you? You can't help but be touched. And he said, you don't understand. This person just didn't touch me in a way that we're talking about a physical touch. It was faith that's where she touched him at. And he says, virtue has left me. And the only way for virtue to leave Christ is that we have to touch him by faith. And that's what she did. She walked by faith and not by sight. She said, I just need to touch him. I know I'm going to be made whole. I don't need him to pray on me. I don't need him to lay his hands on me. I don't need him to anoint me. I just need a touch.
Amen. And see, I want to remind everybody, we're not off topic. We're still right on topic because this is another way you let your light shine.
That's
right. If you are going through, don't you know, you still can be a blessing to somebody else because they see you going through. You letting your light shine by still having that vibrant faith in the Lord.
Yes.
And that could actually help someone else. You know, I, on my job, a lady was telling me, and I had no idea, you know, she had just started there, and she was observing me, and she came to me one day, and she said, now, you know, I didn't know her well at all. I, you know.
Right.
She said, you're a Christian, aren't you? and I smiled, because it felt good when folk recognize.
Yes, sir.
You know, you applying, you're not just going to church. And I heard the pastor say, well, you go into church, you know, do you just get what you get here for the moment? You know, are you applying it to your life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing with it? You know, why are you here? You know, some
That's
people
right.
get indignant, but really we need to ask ourselves this question. You know, the light is in you. You know, if you've
accepted right.
Jesus, the light is in you. We are it's our duty. And it should be a pleasure to let it shine.
That's right.
You know,
and it's absolutely, sir. And it's not a neon sign light, not that type of a light, an exterior right. light, where people, you know, think that, oh, you know, I put a cross around my neck, or I carry a Bible, or I got a banner saying that I'm a Christian. That ain't what that lady saw. And she saw something in you, something within your character that identified who you were. The Bible says you shall know them by the fruit that they bear.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, and I don't say this to be boastful in myself. I'm boasting in the Lord.
Amen.
He's done some things for me that no man can do. You know,
that's right.
He's taken, there's been times in my life where I'll use the word enemy. he has made them my footstool. You know, that's another
mm-hmm.
thing. The Lord can take a bad situation where it looks like it's no way out and turn it around. You know, that's the power that you have living within you. But
mm-hmm.
as the Bible says, it's impossible to please God without faith. So you got to activate
right.
your faith and
Amen.
Have it work for you.
And like you
said,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that can only be done when you have cultivated a relationship with the Lord. In the earlier program, Apostle Williams was encouraging someone, and he told them they were talking about studying and reading the Word and getting into the Word more. Well, he said, that's good, but you got to let the Word get in you, which is important. And then when you do that, that light will shine forth. It will shine forth from within. Paul told those that he ministered to that you're my living epistles.
Yeah.
Amen. You
wow.
are my living
wow.
epistles. And that's what we are. We should be living epistles of God. The word should be engrafted within us. Thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I will not sin against ye, O Lord. That the word should be within us. And when it's within us, which it should be, because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, then that light will come forth. And then you said something earlier, another question that you had about our image, the image of God, going back to Genesis 1:26-27.
Oh, my. Brother, we really be on one accord, because I was just about to get it to self-esteem. My goodness.
It was flowing that way. It was a natural flow of things with the Lord, and that's how he does. He orders the steps. He orders, though. He has a way of doing that. When you yield unto him, that's another way that your light will shine. And not try to do it on your own accord, but allow the Spirit of God to lead you. And where he leads us, that's where we follow.
Yes.
Amen. But that's another thing. That's a very important question. I love that particular question. I love talking about that, because people have to understand that image that God said he created us in, that make us resemble him, has nothing to do with what we see with our eyes.
Right.
The Bible clearly says that God is a spirit.
Amen.
He is a spirit. He is not human-like form. So, and it also clearly tells us that no man has ever seen God. But then it also tells us that when he created Adam, that Adam communed with God. Well, what Adam had that made him be able to commune with God was how God created the man from the beginning. God formed him from the dust of the ground and then blew into him his spirit. And the Bible says man became a living soul. What we had that resembles the image of God is we were born with a spirit.
Amen.
It's the spirit. And that's what we lost when Adam transgressed. We lost that connection. We lost that resemblance to God. We no longer resemble God after that, because light and darkness have no parts with one another, and sin cannot cohabit with holiness and righteousness. It just can't not do that.
Yeah.
And so when sin entered into the world and became a part of man's nature, we lost that.
Ooh.
But thank God. Yeah, we did. But redemption came.
Amen.
Through Christ. And he restored us back into that right standing relationship. And we now, once you are born again, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes within you at the point of salvation that brings us back into that connection with God. But we have to yet still allow the Holy Spirit to operate and have its way, because if not, we do have free will that God gave us that makes us distinct in all the creations, and that can keep us out of our proper relationship with the Lord.
True.
So that image that we were created in was that we had a spirit, and he even told. I mean, it makes it real clear when you look at what he told Jeremiah in 29:11 before the foundation of the world. He said, "I knew you." I knew the thoughts and plans that I had for your life. And how did he know him? Well, he was already prior to coming into this world, we are spirit. And
amen.
God birthed us in the spirit realm. And Jesus clearly said this. He says, you know what? On this earth, no man should you call father other than God.
Wow. That's right. That is right. The creator, the sustainer, Elohim.
That's right.
Now, I just want to remind everybody who's on the line, definitely you want to press 1 and go ahead and chime in on this subject. And I'll repeat the number, 646-200-3838, 646-200-3838, if you're listening through your PC. Now, Minister Weathersby, I definitely thank you for coming on and sharing with us. Have you recently in your life faced a, because you know we all get challenged,
as
left ministers, you know. can you give an example? Because some folks, I'll tell you what, some folks can't always, or they think they can't relate to men of God such as yourself, because, oh, well, you know, he's a minister, of course, you know, but is there a hardship that you care to give an example on, you know, a challenge that you face in letting your light shine, how you overcome it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's something that we deal with daily. For me, it's more has to do with the challenges of not allowing, you know, even as a minister, what we have to understand is, and you can have, it doesn't matter what your relationship is with the Lord or what your status is with the Lord, because just like God is no respecter of persons, neither is the devil, and neither is trouble. You know, things that come our way. It doesn't care about who you are. For me, one of the biggest challenges I have is staying grounded and steadfast in my relationship with the Lord. And the reason why I say that as a challenge, because, as it stands right now, I've been living alone for a long time. Oh, my God, over 20-some years. And I've been saved 17 years. And I worked up until 4 years ago, and so I always had an avenue of doing that. And but now I'm retired, and I retired because I felt that it was time for me to move on and do the work of the Lord. But let me tell you, even with that, you're going to come up against some struggles and trials and tests, because what I found that happened, I didn't just start working for the Lord right away after I retired. I did just like everybody else. I relaxed. I got comfortable and just laid back. I was still going to church. I was reading my word. I was, you know, doing some studying and praying, but I wasn't doing what I had committed myself to do. And one of the things that I'll tell people is that you got to be careful of is allowing yourself to get into a state where you can be in an isolated state, where you're not around the type of people that you need to be around to encourage you, to edify you, and if you don't commit yourself to doing the will of God, then you will get into a complacent and isolated mode, and then before long you'll find yourself just going ho hum and not putting forth all the effort that you need to do. And for me, that was a major challenge, and God got to me one day a couple years ago. And just spoke to me and told me, and I'm a full time job, and you're really giving me part time service. Yeah, he says, I'm a full time God, and you're only giving me part time service. You're not utilizing all that I've placed within you to my glory. And I knew exactly what he meant. And he said, I need to get up from there, get up from my complacency, get up from that area of comfortability that I had found myself in. And go forth and do what I've equipped you to do. And that's to do the work that he's placed within my hands to do. So that's a big challenge. That's a struggle. And just because you're in ministry, or you're a minister or have some sort of position in the Lord, it's not going to make you immune. If anything, it's going to make more challenges come your way. Because, again, we have to be an example. We have to be mindful of who we represent.
Amen, amen. I mean, that's an awesome word, man. Because a lot of folks don't realize that, if anything, these men and women of God that have taken on the role of minister, you know, that's not a free pass. You know, the devil, if anything, he gets even more busy. You know, so.
And the truth be told, it ain't something that's what you want to do.
Right.
In and of yourself.
Yeah. Oh, right.
You know, that's not something that you say, I'm waking up, oh, yeah, I just can't wait to get out here and go do this. No, my nature says, oh, no, take it easy. This is a nice day. Chill out.
Yeah, right. Right, exactly. So, we constantly fight those battles, you know, the spiritual warfare, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How does one, keep Satan from extinguishing that vibrancy, you know, that, you know, obviously in your experience, you listen to the Holy Spirit and you you hit the ground running. But what about that person that knows? I mean, I know you knew what you were supposed to be doing, but they're constantly, they're just stuck, and they become just fine with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do to get that spark back?
Well, you have to continue to seek his face. That's the only way to get closer and closer to God. That's the only way it's going to happen, because in and of ourselves, we don't have a desire to, nor do we want to do the things that are going to be pleasing to God. The only way that that can happen for us is that we have to get really close to him, and the spirit within us, the Holy Spirit, moves us to do those things that are pleasing to God. It transforms us into our way of thinking, where it becomes, instead of self-centered, it becomes God-centered. And then you start thinking about doing those things of God, but that's only because the Holy Spirit is enabling us to do that. We don't do that on our own accord.
Right.
So
then,
that means
relationship. So let me ask then, okay, we've heard the term backslider.
Yes.
Is that person now walking in darkness? Because they did accept Jesus at one time.
Disobedience.
Okay.
Disobedience. That's how you walk. That's how you end up backsliding. You know the right thing to do, but you're choosing to disobey. You're choosing not to do the right thing. So, are you walking in darkness? Well, sin is darkness. I mean, anytime you walk away from, and that's the key. Walk away from God, because He doesn't leave us.
That's right.
The presence of God never leaves us. We leave Him. So anytime we venture off into sin or being disobedient to the will of God, then that's going to take us from light to darkness. That's why the Bible says that you know, when you were brought out of darkness into His marvelous light, you're to walk in the light. Because if you don't walk in the light and you allow yourself to venture back there into darkness, then you're in trouble. Because the further and further away that we, get away from God and become more disobedient unto Him and commit various different types of sins, the greater the opportunity will present itself where His presence will no longer be visible to, known to us. And we'll find ourselves in a situation that Brother Samson found himself after he had his encounter with Delilah and the Philistines.
My. Blinded, right?
Yeah, blinded, and also in such of a bad situation that the power that he thought he had, he had tried to do one last time what he had done oftentimes before, but the Bible said he did not realize that the presence of the Lord was no longer with him. That's what happens when you venture off into darkness, into sin. You can get so far away from God that you don't even know that God is no longer with you, or that you're no longer with Him, I should say.
Oh my! Because He doesn't leave us.
Yeah, no, He doesn't. And know that sin and righteousness and holiness, it cannot coexist together. So He's not going to be there. When in them places where we venture off into darkness, some people got this here strange idea that even in darkness and the things that they do. Oh, yeah, God is with me. Oh, no, He ain't. because you're not
that
with Him.
What I'm going to call, I've heard people say, the hypocrite, not being judgmental, but that's a prime example of that. We have folks in our midst, and I'm kind of taking it back. Actually, it's coming full circle where you have that conflict, and you know, are you still to be patient with those individuals that
we have to be?
Because they're obviously blind. We still have to be
patient. Yeah, we have to be, because the Bible tells us that, those that are spiritually strong have to bear the infirmities of the weak. And we are to encourage and uplift our brothers and sisters in Christ that are falling away. And also knowing that sometimes maybe that falling away is not intentional, as it's identified in, I believe, in Galatians, the first and second verse, where it talks about a man that's overtaken by a fault. you know, someone that's overtaken by a fault, or they were trying to get away from sin, but sin overtook them. We're to restore such a one. Those that are spiritual minded, those that are spiritually mature, that are in a relationship with the Lord, and have the ability to aid somebody in that type of a situation. We restore such a one, because we got to be mindful that can, if it happened to them, it could happen to us. You know, except by the grace of God.
Right. That's where that compassion and love and kindness and
all
that. Yeah, that comes into play.
Yes, sir.
But now you did say about one can get angry, but as long as you don't sin, you know.
That's right.
What is the fine line there? Like, I mean, can you go into that, break that down, you know?
Like, well, if we look at it, yeah, you know, Brother Eric, if we look at it from the standpoint of in the Bible where something like that happened, we come across that situation where Jesus had came into Jerusalem and ran into the temple and saw people, selling things in preparation for the Passover feast. And they were money changers. They were changers, and they was doing all kinds of things. And he says, you know, you're turning this place into something else other than what God had intended it for. So he had righteous indignation and anger against what was going on. And he turned over the money tables and just about threw everybody out of the temple. Now, folks say that he was angry. Yes, that was an angry, but it wasn't an angry that led to sin. That was a righteous anger. And for us, we can be angry and upset about things such as, we should be righteously angry about sin when sin presents itself. But that doesn't mean that when somebody does something wrong to me, that I turn around and do in kind to them. Then that's where
right.
I done turn my anger into wrath, and that wrath's going to turn into sin. Because then I'm reacting on my natural instincts, and when any time that I do that, I'm going to always be wrong.
Amen.
Every single time.
But there's a such thing as loving correction, obviously.
Absolutely. For instance, we'll look at it like this. Somebody do something to me, and I need to be able to recognize that that there's something operating within them that's causing them to do that. Spirits operating within them, and I can be angered about that spirit that's operating within them, but I can't hate the person.
Right.
Just like God loves us, but he hates sin.
Right.
He hates sin.
Amen.
So, all right, we have to be careful that we don't allow the things that can anger us or get us upset cause us to, to allow ourselves to become angered where we end up sinning and doing those things that God said that we should not do.
Amen. Amen. God.
But again,
so that's
only the Holy Spirit can keep us from that.
Letting your light shine, most definitely. And we have
yes,
to
sir.
Let it rule, rest, and abide within us, you know.
It's
and,
the power.
The power
yes, sir.
Of Almighty God. And God
yes,
is so good. I thank you, Minister Weathers. Being what I'm going to do now, since we've come to the end of our program, just want to have you give some closing remarks and go ahead and put some plugs in there. I know you have some books coming out.
Praise God. We're just thankful and praising God, and to God be the glory for the great things that he's doing. I want to, as always, bro, I want to continue to encourage you to continue on in the work that God has placed within your hands. And we don't need to get dismayed or down or anything, not feeling encouraged or uplifted by the fact that maybe not too many people are actively participating in the ministry. That's all right. God has a way of moving in that area and allowing things to flourish and grow. We're just trusting and believing in God that that's going to happen, because if the message gets out to one or two people, then that's how it starts. and it goes on, so on and so on and so on. So we're just grateful to God for this opportunity that he has afforded that allow you to go forth and fulfill the purpose that he has for your life and ministering Amen. To other people, which is what we're called to do. We're called to be a help one to another. So I just thank God for that. Thank God for you, sir, for your diligence Thanks. And your faithfulness. And that's what I think compelled me to, you know, to make sure that I called in or stayed online, because you know, it's for the work of the ministry, and to God be the glory. And
yeah.
you know, for, as far as my what I'm doing, or you know, I besides the ministry of God and doing things that are in ministry, ministering in a rehabilitation center here in Wilmington, I also write books. So I've written two books on relationships and relationship building. Both of them are under ZulonPress.com. Zulon Press is a self-publishing Christian book self-publishing company. And the first book is titled Unless God Builds the House, and that focuses on marriage. And the second is on the family, which is titled Check the DNA, What Happened to We, Our Family. And in both of those books, I've made a direct correlation with the Word of God as to how it's so important for us as believers in Christ to understand that our marriages and our family relationships are vital to us in our ability to be able to maintain and sustain the relationship that God desires between us and Him. And if we're not getting those two right, then you can rest assured you're not getting it right with the Lord. And we need to get our marriages and family in order, because the devil has a major attack on those relationships. And the design for those books was for us to not be caught unaware. You know, we don't want to allow what Hosea 4:6 says, that my people are perish or destroyed for lack of knowledge. God doesn't want that to happen. He wants us to be aware of the wiles and tricks of the enemy.
I know that's right. And I thank you so much, dear brother, and I appreciate your support of what God has called me to do. You know, really
Absolutely.
Do. Amen. And
that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, indeed, edifying the body of Christ. And that's
yes,
actually
sir.
What this program is all about, leading souls to Christ and edifying the body of Christ, you know.
Amen.
Once you get saved, you need spiritual nourishment, you know.
Amen.
And I want to go ahead and actually also mention the Facebook group, Tributes to My Reason for Living. It's
Amen.
A group that the Lord led me to found. And we just have different individuals sharing and led by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you have a word for someone, you know, that needs prayer, that needs, like we were just saying, edification, just needs to be built up. You definitely want to join that group and
right.
get your daily dose of inspiration. And also, I have a number of writings that are inspirational writings that are available to view online. You just go to ericbendross.hubpages.com. Again, that's ericbendross.hubpages.com. You can also go to ericbendross.com. And, dear brother, as we close out, if you wouldn't mind, Minister Weathersby, go ahead and closing us out in prayer tonight.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Gracious and eternal Father, Lord God, we just come to you right now saying thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us again just another opportunity, Lord God, that we come to glorify and magnify your name. We thank you, Lord God, for all that has occurred on this evening, oh Father God. And we ask, dear God, that you continue to bless those that were listening in, oh Father God, and anyone, oh Father God, that has things that they're going through or things that they're dealing with spiritually, Lord God. We ask that you continue to make yourself made known unto them, oh Father God, and that someone will allow that light that is within them to shine forth so that they might be able to see Christ that's living within them and be able to just to come forth and just ask, you know, what is it that allows you to be who you are and allow you to deal with things in the way that you do, Father God, and let them be ready with an answer so that they can
yeah.
come forth and tell them about the goodness of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord God, for the work that you've a place within the hand of our dear brother, Brother Eric. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, continue to endow him with power from on high, oh, Lord God, as he continues to just operate within your will, oh, Lord God, allowing his life to shine forth, his light to shine forth, oh, Father God, in all that he does, all that he says, oh, Father God, and just being consistent in all things, oh, Father God, because he is submitting himself over to you, oh, Father God, to the will of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to reign, rule, and super rule in his life. Bless this program, oh, Lord God. Bless those that are yet to become a part of it, oh, Lord God, and continue to allow it to go forth and accomplish that which you have set forth for it to do. Father God, we just thank you on this evening for all things. We just love you. We give you the honor, the praise, and the glory, and we magnify your name, and we ask, we count this prayer done by faith for the things that I've said or anything that I've left unsaid, and we ask that you just receive it at this time, Lord God. In the precious name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I pray with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Good night, everybody.
All right, good night, sir.